Father, thank you so much for being there. For taking our sin, for taking our shame, for dying to take it away from us. Thank you, God, for giving us hope and mercy, love and grace. Thank you for being here. Father, show us the way. Show us which steps to take from today to tomorrow to on into the week. Be with us every step, God. Let us not be distracted. Let us not be ignorant of you. But let us call on your name. Thank you. Thank you, God. Amen. You may be seated.
Hear the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Jesus said, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet, and then turn and tear you to pieces." Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, help us this morning as we enter into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I think all of us have passages of scripture that we find troubling, confusing, confounding, maybe even frustrating. I won't speak for you, but I will speak for me when we come to this verse of Scripture. I find this verse, all of that and more. This is a strange passage of Scripture. It's strange in its context in so many ways. It's just strange. It's strange on the surface, and it's strange when we start to dig into it. All the same, Jesus said it. So let's try and understand what Jesus was saying here, what Jesus intended, what he meant. Jesus talks about dogs and he talks about pigs. Who are these dogs and who are these pigs? You don't need to be a Bible scholar to recognize that to the Jews of Jesus' day, to the Jews of our modern world, pigs were unclean. Pigs were an unclean animal. But in Jesus' day, we also need to recognize that these pigs, they often ran wild. They were a vicious, dangerous animal. And the same was true of dogs. In Jesus' day, Jesus wasn't talking about a golden lab playing out in the front yard with your kids in the sunshine, okay? No, in Jesus' day, dogs were often a pack of wild animals that lived out on the edge of town, fending for themselves by whatever means necessary. These were not man's best friend, all right? These dogs were dirty, they were mangy, they were dangerous. And in talking about these dogs and in talking about these pigs, it's clear Jesus is talking about people. And he's talking about people who, in a spiritual sense, are dirty, vicious, vile, dangerous sorts of people. In the society in which we live, the world in which we live, there is a political correctness that has become a sort of spiritual correctness that causes us to never so much as allow ourselves to think that there could be people like this, okay? But the fact is, Jesus is using words like dogs and pigs. He's using offensive words. He's using hard words, ugly words to describe people who are hard and ugly and vicious and dangerous. And then he talks about what is sacred. And he talks about pearls. What is he talking about? Well, there's only one other place in Matthew's gospel where Jesus talks about pearls. And that's in Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." In Matthew 13, Jesus equated pearls with the kingdom of God, with the abiding presence of God, that precious, precious presence of God with us as individuals, as people. Now, does that hold up here? Well, it's interesting, because if we look at this word sacred, there's only one other place in Matthew's gospel where Jesus used that word. It's in Matthew chapter 23. Okay? Now, we're not going to get into all the nuances of that passage, but in verses 17, 18, 19 of Matthew 23, Jesus equated what is sacred with what pertains to God, what pertains to the reality, the power, the authority of God's revealed presence. And so it would seem almost certain that in Matthew 7, 6, when Jesus talks about what's sacred, when he talks about pearls, this is Jesus' way of describing the experience of God's kingdom, the experience of God's presence, the reality of God living in us and with us is our God. And when you think about it, truly, is there any more precious treasure? Is there anything more valuable in all of life than knowing that God is with us? That God's presence abides with us, that God lives within us. Isn't this truly what is most sacred, most holy, most precious, most valuable in all of existence? I'd suggest, as strange as this verse is, Jesus' message, at least on the surface of things, is pretty simple. Do not take the most precious, the most valuable spiritual possession that you have. Don't take the reality of God's presence filling your life. Don't take that and share it indiscriminately with people who are spiritually dirty, vile, dangerous, possessed of a vicious disposition, prone to attack and trample underfoot the very thing you're offering and holding dear. And that makes sense. Except, of course, it doesn't make any sense at all. What is Jesus saying here? This seems to contradict so many other things that Jesus and the early church said and that they did. Jesus, the apostles, the early church, they shared God's grace with people who often didn't want to hear it. And they shared the good news with people who expressed that with a fist, a rock, a whip, a jail cell, even a cross. Are we supposed to believe that Jesus was throwing pearls to pigs when he went to the cross? Was Paul giving what was sacred to the dogs when he preached to angry and unreceptive crowds? We're supposed to love our enemies, and we're supposed to go the extra mile, and we're supposed to turn the other cheek, and we're supposed to not judge others, and we're supposed to forgive the offenses that are committed against us. Jesus said these things. He said them right here in the Sermon on the Mount. And yet in this verse, Jesus seems to warn us, be careful. Be careful when you do those sorts of things. Be careful. Sometimes you shouldn't do those sorts of things. Do you see why I find this verse so troubling? So difficult? But then I remember something Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus was sending the disciples out to do missionary work amongst the villages of Judea. And he said, "If anyone won't welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town." And then listen to something Jesus said in Matthew 15, verses 12 through 14. The disciples were very concerned that some of the things Jesus was saying and doing might offend the Pharisees. And Jesus said, "You know, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They're blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Now, I got to tell you, what Jesus told his disciples about shaking the dust off their clothes, what Jesus said about turning their backs on the Pharisees and just leaving them in their blindness, that doesn't seem very loving. That doesn't seem very gracious. It doesn't seem very kind of Jesus. In fact, it seems pretty harsh. It seems pretty judgmental, pretty unforgiving. Am I actually to believe that there were some things about certain people that caused Jesus to write them off as a lost cause? Apparently so. And then I remember Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13. They were on their first missionary journey. They arrived in Pisidian Antioch. They preached to the Jews. There were even some converts. Word spread. The crowds began to build. But listen to verses 45 and 46. When the unconverted Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and they talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and don't consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. And then listen to what happened in Corinth. Acts chapter 18, verse 6. But when the unconverted Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I'm clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. These are just two examples of the sort of situation that played out time and time again in the ministry of Paul and his apostolic peers. On more than one occasion, these apostles, they more or less told their audience, you had your chance, and you blew it. We brought you the good news of Jesus, and all you've brought us is trouble, hardship, pain, persecution. We're done sharing sacred pearls with you. From now on, we'll share these precious things with an audience more receptive to what it is we're offering. I remember Jesus, and I remember Paul and Barnabas, and then I start to remember some experiences in my own life. I remember, this was years ago, investing weeks and weeks trying to share faith with two young Mormon missionaries, and the dawning realization they weren't vaguely interested in anything I had to say to them. They were hell-bent on converting me to Mormonism, and they were more than a little irritated when I pointed out the shortcomings of their faith. I remember months invested trying to help a young mom who had been abused by her husband. The dawning realization that what she really wanted from me was pity. What she really wanted from me was a shoulder to cry on. What she really wanted from me was someone to bring her free groceries every week and to help pay the lights and the water bill. Frankly, what she didn't want from me was someone sharing the gospel. Someone talking to her about God's forgiveness, about following Jesus. Those sorts of things made her uncomfortable, a little edgy, and before I was done, more than a little angry. I remember being physically attacked by a guy in a cheap hotel room down on Central Avenue in Columbia Heights. I'd spent months with this guy trying to help him rebuild a life for himself and his wife, but he'd had enough of it. He didn't want to get better. He didn't want to change. He didn't want to follow Jesus. He didn't want to have anything to do with anything that came along with following Jesus. Now, there's a part of me that wants to tell these stories as an example of what a faithful, hardworking minister of the gospel I've been. Aren't I something special to have gone through all of this? Truth be told, in retrospect, I think I was trying to give sacred things to the dogs. I think I was throwing pearls to pigs. And the thing is, to top it off, in the moment as these events were unfolding, I got offended. I was hurt. People were trampling my good gifts under their feet, and then they were turning around to take a chunk or two out of me to boot. And I got mad about that. In retrospect, I don't think I had much room to get offended, because I think I got what I had coming. Frankly, I just don't think I was sufficiently sensitive, sufficiently careful, sufficiently mindful of the sacred treasure I was offering, and I don't think I was sufficiently mindful of the vile, vicious, unreceptive nature of those to whom I was offering it in those situations. I think I got what I had coming. Friends, I just want to encourage you, please, beware of the martyr complex. Beware of this spiritual pride that masquerades its false humility. Oh, it's okay. I just keep trying to share, trying to love. No one's listening. No one cares. In fact, people hate me. But I'll keep at it for Jesus' sake. That's my lot in life. Maybe. I mean, maybe. Maybe God has called you to that, and maybe that is your ministry, and maybe that is your place. I don't want to make light of that. But in some cases, just maybe. Just maybe if we'd stop for a moment and quit being so spiritual and quit being so humble and actually listen to Jesus, we'd hear him say something like this. Would you quit your whining? Would you shake off the dust and just leave? You've been rejected. I've been rejected. This isn't your responsibility anymore. Move on to a more receptive audience. Let's be clear. Matthew 7, verse 6, this is not a loophole, okay? This isn't an excuse. This isn't an escape hatch to relieve us of the hard work of sharing Jesus with hard people, people who need Jesus. But you know, even Jesus understands that you and I live in a fallen world where some people simply aren't going to receive what it is we're offering. And even Jesus understands and grants permission. There's some times to recognize that hardness. There's some times to recognize that unreceptivity and just to move on. And yeah, you know what? That means learning to be very, very, very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because this isn't a prepackaged formula. You know, we might have three brief spiritual conversations with someone only to hear the Holy Spirit say, move on, you're done here. And then we might turn around and spend the next three agonizing months dealing with someone's filth and failure only to hear the Spirit say, hang in there, don't give up, victory's just around the corner. God's ways aren't our ways. God's timing isn't our timing. Don't ask me to explain it. I don't understand it. What I know is this. Jesus said there's a time and there's a place to be very, very careful and to be very, very cautious and to be very, very sensitive to what we do or what we do not do in sharing our spiritual treasures. And friends, if we've been giving sacred things to the dogs, if we've been throwing our pearls to the pigs, yeah, it's time to stop doing that. We're not doing anybody any good. If anything, just the opposite. Listen, let's love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and let's share Jesus in our life and in our words every chance we get. Let's pray for our enemies. Let's forgive those who offend us and abuse us. Let's go the extra mile for Jesus' sake. But God, help us in all of these things. Let's do them with eyes and ears that are wide open to the places where God is saying, oh, be careful there, friend. Be careful. This life I've given you is sacred. It's a precious pearl. Be careful. Don't be careless. Don't be careless with what I've given you. Don't throw it away on those who could care less. I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform. As they do, we're going to prepare ourselves for this communion. I asked the question a few moments ago, and I would ask it again. When Jesus went to the cross, was he throwing pearls to pigs? And I would stand for you this morning and say a resounding no. And those pearls, we were on the receiving end, folks. No doubt, Jesus hung there on the cross knowing full well that there would be millions and billions of souls over the centuries of history who would reject his great sacrifice. But the fact is, Jesus also knew that there would be people like you and me who, looking upon the cross, looking upon the sacrifice.
Thank you.